You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Everybody, how you doing? Well, that's good. Welcome to PHLY Flyers, presented by Mortgage CS. Check out mortgagecs.com/PHLY to start your home buying process today. Company on MLS ID, number 1464766. My name is Bill Matz. I'm your director of fun and games this evening. Joining me, as always, is Philadelphia's number one beat reporter. It is Charlie O'Connor. What's going on today, Charlie?
How's it going, Bill?
You know, I need you to start some sort of Twitter beef with, like, an established... we really need to get on that Kyle Newbeck train.
Yeah.
Like, you need to go after Al Morgani, I think.
But Al's a great guy.
I know. It's a pain in the ass. I like Al a lot.
What I could do is I could text Al and see if Al... We could get into a wrestling-style beef where we shit on each other in public and then we're still buds.
Yeah, he would say...
That I would do.
He would say, I'm not going to do anything. I don't care. Do whatever you want to do. That's exactly what would happen. Anyway, we are here live on this Wednesday, April the 24th. As this offseason continues, as well, you know, it's the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, but
this is
it's a weird time.
Can I say something though? This is, as much as the Stanley Cup final is great, and even the second round is great, this is the best time to be a general hockey fan.
Four games a night.
There's so many games every night. And the way, like, I have my issues competitively with the way they structure the playoffs now.
Yeah.
I don't think it's quite fair.
You pointed out
to the best teams.
The one quadrant in the West is all the good West teams.
Yeah. Like, you could theoretically argue that, I mean, I don't think I would buy this necessarily, but you could theoretically argue, and I wouldn't dismiss you out of hand, that the four best teams in hockey are Winnipeg, Colorado, Dallas, and Vegas. Like, I wouldn't say that's stupid. I would say, you know what, like, I would probably have Carolina in there, Edmonton, Florida, but, like, if you wanted to argue those are the four best teams,
you could.
I don't think you would be completely out of hand, and only one of them is getting to the final four because they're all in the same quadrant. It's wild. Now, part of that is because Vegas underachieved all year. Now they have Mark Stone back because they're Vegas. This is what they do. So that plays into it a bit. They would have still been the 7 or 8 seed, even if we would have done it the old way, but I don't love what it does for the competitive balance. I don't think it necessarily treats the best teams as fairly as it could. However, from a purely hockey viewing standpoint, the first round is by far the best part of the playoffs.
And that's, like, everyone's as healthy as they're going to be.
True, true.
Like, obviously, you just went through an 82-game season, unless you're Vegas, and then half your team did.
Yeah.
But I love what Vegas does. I hope they do it more.
I get a kick out of it, and I get a, like, let me put it this way. I would probably be more annoyed with Vegas if the Flyers were also good and also competing for a cup, and Vegas was a team they theoretically had to beat to achieve their goal. The fact that
Ryan Ellis comes back for the Stanley Cup final, Charlie.
But the fact that the Flyers are irrelevant still, I mean, they didn't make the playoffs this year. They were obviously a little bit better. It's much easier for me from afar to say to myself, that is hilarious that they continually find ways to get around the cap ceiling. But I understand if you're a Colorado fan or a Dallas fan or an Edmonton fan, I totally get why you're absolutely livid at this whole situation.
I don't get livid. I get generally annoyed. I get the idea of being annoyed. I don't under, like, Marks, they barely made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, it was a fight for them until the last few weeks to get in.
And 2 years ago, they tried this and they didn't make the playoffs.
Like, so Mark Stone did have a lacerated spleen. Like, that did happen.
Yeah, we have medical reports.
Like, the NHL does look into the LTIR.
Oh, they do.
I do. I will laugh at, though, like, when they talk about it on 32 Thoughts or various, like, national podcasts with some tie to the league or another, they go like, well, what do you want to, like, what could they possibly do about, and it's, well, right now, no, they have to wait for a CBA. But it's a very simple rule. Your playoff roster has to be cap compliant. That's it. It's a very simple fix. I don't care if they fix it or not. Don't give a shit.
Everyone should be trying. You're not wrong.
It's a very simple fix. And when it's like Elliot Friedman, well, what would they do? Like this. No, you can't go get Thomas Hertl when you have fucking Mark Stone.
And
like, that's the fix.
I'm even willing, if we wanted to go down that road, I'm even willing to give them a little bit more leeway than the regular season. I'm willing to say that your lineup has to be cap compliant. So you can have as many guys on your playoff roster as you want, but your lineup cannot go over whatever the cap ceiling is.
It's a very simple, like, go 11-7. So if you have some cheap defensemen and you have a bunch of expensive forwards, go. Like,
I mean, isn't this basically what the Flyers did in 2010?
Yeah.
It's like, well, we have four defensemen and two guys are just like there. They play 3 minutes a night.
They still dress them.
They got a couple chips.
All right. But we are going to get, obviously, to some Flyer stuff. But the playoffs have been a lot of fun. Only the one overtime game so far.
We're going to have a night where there's two or three.
It was, what, 2:59?
Yeah, it was a pretty quick one.
Nah, we need, come on.
Yeah,
we need
a three or four overtime game.
Yeah, we need games on True TV because the game that started 3 hours ago hasn't finished yet. Like that, we need. That's really when the playoffs begin. But we're gonna get to some Flyer stuff. We're gonna start with yesterday's Ivan Fedotov situation.
I did get my article up on allphly.com for diehards only, so check that out if you're a diehard, and if you're not, become a diehard.
I read it this morning. As predicted, it is the definitive and comprehensive summary and analysis of the Fedotov contract and all the situation that led to his signing this extension. But I got some, like yesterday we tweet out the show and I think we cut one of the shorter videos is like, did the Flyers overpay for Ivan Fedotov?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yes, clearly. And it's like, I got a couple of responses that are like, you know, a GIF. It's like TK's agent. And it's like someone like, And I think like we do need to reiterate the uniqueness of the situation might not carry over to any other thing. Now, listen, if Danny Briere, because he did work for Chuck Fletcher, turns out to be Chuck Fletcher, he's like, you get a no trade, you get an extra year, here you go, Sanheim, before we even evaluate you, you're getting your extension. We brought in a coach to evaluate everyone. Don't care. Like, if he turns out to be Chuck Fletcher, then yeah, like, TK's agent should be going, fuck, we're getting 10. But there's a really good chance, as you outlined in the article, like, this is what it costs to bring him over initially. They have no other goal. Like, remember we were in a situation in March where there were no goalies. It was Sam Ersson who was leaking oil and his backups who were dead bodies, basically. Like,
indeed.
Like, what were the options? They brought him over because they wanted to get a look at him, an opportunity that I didn't think was ever going to come to fruition, presented itself. They capitalized. They gave him a little extra. If this is how they manage the cap when it matters, that is bad. But for right now, like, we can all agree, 3-2-5 for 2 years for a nearly 28-year-old goalie who, while, we're going to throw away the, you know, not even three whole games that he played in the NHL. Like, is it even two whole games? They weren't good. The times he was in the net didn't go well.
No.
But we're going to throw, but, like, it's an overpay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't actually matter.
I mean, it could matter. I think the best way to describe how it could matter is the way you're saying, where if it hints that Danny Briere is or can be pushed over in negotiations. I think so far the negotiations that he's done like, they don't lead me to believe that he's going to be easily, like, destroyed. Like, he got a first round pick for Sean Walker. Yeah, he had to get a little creative and take on Johansson's contract, but he got the first round pick for Walker. He got a haul for Ivan Provorov, despite the fact that Ivan Provorov hadn't been good in 3 years, and he had a pretty big contract. He found a way to do that. I don't think the Nick Seeler contract was a bad negotiation. You can make the case that the Flyers just shouldn't have re-signed him. But I think on the whole, if you're talking about the value that he's provided to the team in terms of 5-on-5 play and 5-on-5 results, I think the $2.7 million cap hit is reasonable. I don't think Briere got taken to the cleaners over that. This one, based on NHL comparables, Briere absolutely paid more than he should have. But there's an element to this, like you talk about it, the same thing in baseball. Well, not the same thing, but it's comparable. In baseball, you have like a posting fee. In soccer, you have like a transfer fee.
That's a really good comparison.
I do think there's an element here where part of the cap hit, it almost is like a transfer fee or a posting fee baked in.
Yeah.
Because Fedotov's camp was like, look, we ain't leaving this country unless you make it so my guy doesn't get a pay cut. And that kind of played into the fee, because suddenly you're not just negotiating. Like, the market isn't just other NHL teams. The market is the option of staying in Russia and playing in the KHL and getting big money there.
Not potentially getting detained at the airport again.
Yeah, there's that too. There are intangible elements, we could say. But I think looking at the overpay part of the contract as almost like a transfer fee or a posting fee is probably the best way to look at it, because I will tell you this straight up, they would not have gotten Fedotov to come over had they not offered him somewhere in this range in terms of average annual value. It's just the reality of the situation.
I was just thinking this, so the total salary of that 1 year contract was, it got told, postponed. He ends up getting $925,000. That's what the total salary is. Do you know how that works?
I mean,
like, is that,
it's an interesting question. It's not something I've looked into.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, when, like, for example,
he was here 2 weeks.
For example, when you sign a guy, like, let's say a team signs a guy, I believe this happened with Zach Parise. When a guy gets signed in like January, yeah, they have the cap hit, which is the technical full year salary number, but they only get the prorated version of that salary based on the day in the league year that they signed with the team. My guess is that Fedotov's contract was prorated since he didn't show up, obviously, for the bulk of the season. It only counts for the days he was on the roster and actually with the team, but I don't know for sure. And maybe, I guess it's theoretically possible, the Flyers just threw him a bone and were like, we'll give you the full money because we're Comcast and we have the money if that will make you happy. But if I had to guess, I would guess it was probably prorated.
I figured it would be prorated. I couldn't think of what that word was, but I figured it would be prorated. But I was just like, he was here like a couple of days. I wonder how that all works out. There was a signing bonus on there on Cap Friendly that said like $92,500, so a 10%, maybe that's what it ended up being. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he gets the signing bonus.
He did just get $6.5 million.
But the thing is with the signing bonus is that he got the signing bonus way back in 2022.
Yeah, that's when he signed.
Yeah, so that money was already given to him long ago.
Yeah, all right.
That's the whole point of the signing bonus.
So that's the Fedotov clarification I wanted to get to off the top here, talking about negotiations. Well, you know who's always on your side? It's Mortgage CS.
Sure.
That was pretty good, I guess.
I thought it was a pretty good segue.
It was good. The spring purchase market is here and heating up quickly. Many clients, especially first-time home buyers, they're reaching out right now because they want to be ready when the rates drop. This is not a unique thought. It is what everyone is doing. And that means whenever this drop occurs, there's going to be limited inventory and strong demand, which means competition will remain extremely fierce for the foreseeable future. So you need to get in touch with Mortgage CS to prepare and ensure you will be able to stand out and make the strongest offers possible. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or you're looking to refinance, or you just want to know what you have to do to qualify for a mortgage when the time is right for you, Mortgage CS should be a consideration no matter your situation, because Mortgage CS, well, they're made up of honest, good people and always work hard to not let their clients down. But don't take it from me. Check out the reviews on Google. Spoiler, They average 5 stars. Let's take a look at one of their most recent reviews from just a few days ago. It reads, Ben and Alex helped us get the loan we needed when we only had a few weeks to closing. Every step of the process was smooth, and now we're in the house and all is good. Isn't that what we're all looking for? We just want to get in and be happy.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you want the house. There's so much to it.
As painless as possible, even though there's going to be some pain, but you want it as painless as possible.
It's a terrifying and stressful situation. And Ben and Alec are there for you the entire step of the way. I did not mispronounce this. The review that I did not proofread said Alex and not Alec. But it's Ben and Alec.
Alec and Ben.
Yes. They're there for you every step of the way, as this review lets you know. And I've been telling you that for the length of the hockey season now. We're through a hockey season. We've been talking about Mortgage CS. So when you hear the word mortgage, think of Mortgage CS. Think of Ben and Alec. Save Ben's number right now, 267-391-7425, or email Ben at Ben at Mortgage CS. Talk anytime, day or night, talk or text. And if maybe you're not in the housing market, talk some Philly sports. I bet you get an answer. And be sure to check out MortgageCS.com/PHLY to get started. This advertisement is not a commitment to lend or extend credit. Mortgage CS is an equal housing opportunity mortgage broker. All loans are subject to credit approval. Certain restrictions may apply. Company NMLS ID number 1464766. Visit MortgageCS.com for more information. All right. Before we get into some, I'm going to talk some draft today. We'll probably get into like our real, or like dive into the NHL draft. I mean, it's still 2 months away. We got some time.
Yeah, and the thing I want to make clear is that I don't want to present myself as an expert on these players because I have not really had the opportunity to do a ton of research, but that will change over the next few weeks. It's just that I don't want to pretend that I can give you an in-depth scouting report on, you know, well, Macklin Celebrini, he's going number one. But on like
He's going number one.
But on like Caden Lidstrom, like, I mean, yeah. I know the basics, but I plan after the next 2 to 3 weeks to know a hell of a lot more about him and be able to talk about his strengths and weaknesses very intelligently. I don't have that knowledge yet. So instead, we're going to focus a little bit more on just the general idea of, you know, where the Flyers are going to draft, what positions they might ideally want to make stronger in their prospect pool, what the general tiers in that early part of the draft are going to, or at least right now are looking like they're going to be. But I guess we can start it out with where they're likely to pick. Because this still isn't set in stone yet.
It's not set.
But we have a generally good idea of where they're probably going to end up.
So they're at, for the lottery odds, the Flyers are obviously 12th from the bottom, and it stands to reason, although this isn't always the case. They changed the odds. And like when they were like, oh, yeah, they're fifth, so like they're probably going to draft sixth. Like, oh, that's cool. That makes sense. But lottery odds are 85.7% chance to draft at 12. That's pretty high. They have an 8.9% chance to draft at 13. They have a 5.3% chance to get the second pick. So they can move up from 12 to 2. They have a 5.3% chance of doing that. And they have a 0.2% chance of falling all the way to 14. That would mean the two teams behind them get in, jump ahead of
them. Which seems unlikely. I mean, the good thing about this is that, and we'll get into this a little bit later when we talk about the individual draft prospects, the way I'm looking at it and the way I'm starting to gather the way these tiers are looking like they're setting up. Now, things could change, the combine, interviews. There are always a couple guys that soar up the draft rankings because teams start to fall in love with them the more tape they look at, you know, the under-18 world championships, things like that. But right now, it appears that there's a pretty clear cutoff after pick 13. I would really hate to be pick 14. Now, generally speaking, somebody reaches for somebody, and you might get a guy that slips out of that big group. Last year, it was Perreault who slipped all the way down. The Rangers were able to grab him later. So usually there's at least one guy who slips, but I would hate to be in 14th and be right at that point where the cutoff, where like the tier cutoff ends, because then you're just like, well, shit, they're in 12th. They could drop to 13th, not a high chance, but a chance, but dropping to 14th would take like the worst series of luck possible. The big negative, and this is, you know, what I will say, the Macklin Celebrini dream is probably over. They cannot jump to one.
They cannot get the first pick.
And there is no chance that Macklin Celebrini is not going to be the number one overall pick,
it
unless like he goes out and shoots a guy. Like, it's not going to happen. He's going number one.
I'm not even going to say what I was going to say there. It can't be good. And I've heard a lot of people, you know, it's kind of a top-heavy draft. There's this cutoff around 13, 14, maybe. There's not this great. It's by no means the 2003 draft, you know, where it's like, oh, yeah, you're drafting 22nd. You're going to get an all-star.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to happen. And I did want to bring up the idea of draft day trades where you're able to move up.
No, I mean, this is obviously something that fans love to talk about.
It's something they love to talk about.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
And there's always rumors in the weeks and days leading up to the draft that this team might trade down, this team might trade up. It's something that we in the media love to talk about because it's newsworthy and it drives clicks and it drives interest.
I think Ron Hextall's this close to getting that 2014 first overall pick.
He made one of the big splash. He made one of the bigger pushes that has happened in a while.
I know.
He didn't do it, but like by the same token, because of that, we got what, 4 more years of Pequeyne Simmons. That was kind of cool.
That was cool.
Yeah.
So I went back to look at some recent draft trades, and trading into the top 10 does not happen.
It's very rare.
Like, there's some trades here where it's like, oh, well, this guy, yeah, it's like the Sharks pick wasn't as bad as it should have been in the Erik Karlsson trade, and like Ottawa got lucky,
right?
You know, and like shit like that. That basically a team makes a trade. Yeah, here, have a first round pick. And then things go wrong for that team.
Yeah.
And then like the Seth Jones trade.
Like, that's how Colorado got Bone Byram. Like,
Bone Byram, exactly. Yeah. These from the Duchesne trade, I think.
Yeah.
So like those things happen. But actual like, hey, we're going to move from 12 to 2. What do you want? No. Like, that does not happen all that often. I know we get a lot like, well, the Flyers have, you know, they have 2 firsts this year, 2 firsts next year. They have the 4 seconds between the next 2 years. They have all this ammo to move up. They do. I'm not saying it's impossible. But the NHL is not the NFL. These trades don't happen.
It's hard. The one that jumps out at me as the most recent one that maybe if you really squint, you can see a way for the Flyers to kind of replicate it. It's the Alex DeBrincat trade.
Yes.
When the Chicago Blackhawks traded Alex DeBrincat to the Ottawa Senators and they got the 7th overall pick back in return. I guess if you want to squint, and I don't think they could pull this off because I don't think he has as much value as DeBrincat had at that point because DeBrincat was younger. Like, I guess you could say if you are very much on the trade Travis Konecny bandwagon, like, talk to the teams in that 6 to 10 range and see if you might be able to trade Konecny for one of those, for one of those not top 5 picks, but like bottom half of the top 10 picks. I don't think it would happen, but I guess like that's your big hope if you want a trade up.
That's when I've talked about like taking advantage of the situation Buffalo's in. A lot of it is like, I want to steal Owen Power from them because I think they're dumb and they'll give him to us.
I would love to think they are that dumb. I don't think they are, but hey, you never know.
It's hockey. Dumb shit happens all the time.
You never know.
I'm just saying. But also when they're in a situation where they don't really want a ton of young guys, like they want some veterans, some proven guys who can help, like Bowen Byram fits, like, okay, here's a dude who's at least one. You know, like, we want someone who fits our timeline, but, like, also knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, has been in an organization that isn't a shit show like ours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Flyers really qualify there, but
no, I mean, and there are interesting, like, theories you can throw out there. Like, I want Danny Briere to get creative with these traits. And, like, for example, like, this would be an intriguing, because you mentioned Buffalo, this would be an intriguing call at least to have.
Lawton and 12.
No, I wasn't even saying Lawton and 12.
Oh.
I was saying you trade, no, because you Lawton and 12 for 11, that would be stupid.
Oh, are they at 11?
Yeah. And the Florida pick for 11, that's interesting.
That is interesting.
I don't know if they would do it, but like those are the kinds of creative calls I want Briere to be making where it's like, okay, maybe you don't think that Scott Lawton is worth a first round pick. That's what we're holding out for. But if we can get a second first round pick in that top tier where all of the good, really good tier 2 guys are, and then have 2 cracks at the tier 2 rather than just the 1, That's interesting, and maybe that's a move that works for the Flyers. Again, that would have to involve them deciding they actually want to trade Scott Laudon, which I'm not sure they do. It also would involve Buffalo deciding they needed Scott Laudon, which I don't know if they do. But these are the kinds of outside-the-box trade offers and concepts that I think Briere should at least be exploring to see if there's any interest, because it's a rebuild. They need more high-end young talent. This is one way to get it.
And Briere said as much during exit interviews when asked about where they are in the process and all that. He says, the bulk of it still needs to be done through our young guys, mostly through the draft. I still believe with the pick that you mentioned that we can get a very talented player. They are looking to continue to bolster the asset, the group of assets, in hopes that the sum of the parts works or someone just hits one out of the park. Either could happen. It's hard not to agree with them that they still need these guys when you look at the prospect pool.
Yeah. So let's take a look at our prospect pool. Our great producer Brandon put this together. It's not like it lacks talent. I still think this is probably, on the whole, and obviously the presence of Matvei Michkov plays a big part in this, I would say that it is probably a top 10 prospect pool in the league. It's very strong at wing. Again, Michkov plays a big role there, but you got Tuomala, who's a very intriguing prospect, second round pick. You got Denver Barkey. Now, some people might say, yeah, maybe he can stick down the middle. Given his size, I think it's pretty unlikely. You can never rule it out entirely, but he more or less told me in the interview I did with him for All PHLY in the spring, or late winter, early spring, that he's starting to see himself more as a wing. Devin Kaplan is an intriguing wing project. Alex Chernik, an intriguing project. Guy who's going to take a little bit. Lixell, we'll see how that shakes out. He's obviously on the older end. Rizzo, he's signed. He's part of this.
He's eligible to play for the Phantoms in the playoffs.
Exactly. Avon is an intriguing, like, Darryl Powell type bottom six winger. Powell right in the kisser. The wingers look pretty strong. The goalie situation looks pretty strong. You got Kolasov, you got Zvragin, you got Bjarnason, who was a second round pick. You obviously just brought Fedotov over, and Arison's pretty young. Goalie's pretty solid. Right shot D, pretty strong too. There's one glaring issue here.
Oh my God.
That center depth
Center position doesn't exist, basically.
Like, Elliot Desnoyer is their top center prospect. He is more of a Scott Laudon type center, where I don't think he is a pure center in terms of the way he thinks of the game. It's just he can play everything. And he had, like, single-digit goals this year. He took a big step back in terms of his offensive development. I think he can still be an NHL player. I think they still believe that. But last year definitely cut down on the likelihood that he can be, you know, more than a Scott Laudon type. Like, that now very much looks like his best case scenario ceiling. Whereas last year you were thinking, hey, maybe he could be one of those overachievers. And he's your best center prospect. Owen McLaughlin, who I like a lot, we ranked him 14th in our top 20 list in February. He still needs to put on a lot of weight. Had a real good year this past year in college, but he's not moving the needle. Then you got Cole Knubel, who had a good second half for Notre Dame, but, like, he's probably a fourth line center. Center is very clearly the weak point in this organization.
If his last name isn't Knubel, does he get drafted by the Philadelphia Flyers?
Probably not, but that doesn't mean he was a bad pick.
I'm not saying it was a bad, I'm just saying, like, that's your third best center prospect. And it's like, I'm not going to use the derogatory term Nepo baby.
But I'm sure it didn't hurt.
But, like, it's certain. Like, I look at them taking Cole Knubel, and I'm like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know? That was
how good is this guy really?
I really like Danny Briere's draft in 2023, his first draft that he ran, obviously, in large part because of Michkov. But I also think that, you know, picks like Barkey and Chernik, those are the kinds of picks I want you, like, big swing picks in the mid round on guys with skill that are probably a little bit smaller, and that's why they slip. There are some questions about translatability. Those are the guys that it's good to take swings on. Knubel was the only pick in the moment where I was like, oh, that's a classic Flyers pick. That's such a Flyers pick.
And, like, fine. You know, it's the middle rounds. He's got as much chance to turn it out as anyone in the middle rounds. But it's just like, that's your third best center prospect. And yeah. Everyone goes, oh, yeah. Because of his last, you know.
And I like Owen McDonald. Like, we had somebody pop in here, K-Rod, who the fuck is Owen McDonald or Owen McLaughlin?
McLaughlin.
I like him as a prospect. He had a really good year this year, a breakout year for the University of North Dakota. I've watched him play quite a bit. And unlike Desnoyers, who I just think is like a spark plug everywhere, I watch Owen McLaughlin play and I see a guy who plays like a center. I think he is one of those under the radar, intriguing prospects in the organization who, like, he might have legitimate third line center NHL potential, where he could be, you know, in that middle to bottom six area where he scores you some points. He's creative. He's a very high hockey IQ guy from what I've seen, both the development camp and when I've had the chance to watch him play. Owen McLaughlin is intriguing to me. If Owen McLaughlin is maybe your best center prospect and your centers at the NHL level aren't all that great either, that's concerning.
I was going to say, like, if you have this center depth in your system, you're like, oh, is this like, this is probably the Oilers? And it's, yeah, why would we need center depth? We have McDavid and Draisaitl. Yeah. And it's, no, it's Sean Couturier, who knows?
Yeah.
Morgan Frost, the coach doesn't like him. And Scott Laughton, who may or may not even be here, or he's better at wing.
Well, I mean, you got Ryan Poehling.
And Ryan Poehling.
1C Ryan Poehling.
Yeah, 1C Ryan Poehling, who I like Ryan Poehling a lot. If he's your most effective center, here's a damn good reason you didn't make the playoffs.
You're going to have a bad time. So we do have a super chat here from
the super chat.
Brandon Keene. $10 Canadian dollars. Thank you, Brandon Keene.
That's only like $3.
Yeah, man. I mean, the translation isn't great. But
I'm joking.
Thank you so much, Brandon. Knowing what you know about the prospects at the moment, which two players would you target if they pulled a trade with Florida's first and Laughton and at 8 and 12? It would be 11 and 12, I believe, because that's where, pulled a trade with Florida? Oh, with Florida first and Laughton.
So
that would be trading Laughton to Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, maybe. I don't know. Dave Hackstall?
Yeah.
Is it sure?
Who's to say?
It's a good question. I, as I said earlier, have not done a ton of research. I like the idea of, if I'm at 8, finding a way to get a center. And there are some centers in here. I think there's obviously Celebrini's going to be gone. It seems like, reading the tea leaves, that Caden Lidstrom is going to be gone. He's got the size. He's got that factor that the teams tend to really like in centers. Berkeley Catton's intriguing to me because he's small, but he's fast. And those guys, like, they can slip a little bit because teams get worried. He had great production in juniors this past year. He would be an intriguing guy for me at 8 because I think it's unlikely he slips to 12. At 12, I would probably just pick the best player available. But I like the idea, if you were to get up to 8 in that back half of the top 10, we just talked about center depth. I'm not in favor of drafting for need, but I think there's a decent chance that the best player available might also be at a position of need if you're at 8.
Yeah. Just because, like, and listen, I'll do my research. I do every year. I'm not there yet. I know that everyone thinks this draft is better for defensemen.
It is, but that doesn't mean it lacks positional value elsewhere. It's just there are a lot of defensemen that are going to go in the top 15.
Yes, if I were to just answer this question, give me that, Zeev Boom? How do you say the kid from Denver's
name?
I am not going to
try to get these pronunciations right because I'm going to fuck them up.
Yeah.
So let me learn how to correctly pronounce these guys' names, and then I will say their names.
Him and his
Berkeley
brother.
Catton's easy, so I'm not going to try.
And his brother just played together and won the national championship at Denver. Give me that kid on the back.
Again, you got to give me time to do my research. Yeah. Part of the research is learning how to pronounce everybody's name correctly.
That's what makes the... That's what makes, honestly, the premium elite prospects such a great such a great investment.
It's extremely useful.
You just click the little thing. It has the pronunciation. It's awesome for you.
Sure is.
So let's get to how they might be able to fill this positional need that they have at center, just looking at some of these guys. Obviously, Macklin Celebrini. I like how you have this listed here. The top tier, tier one, Macklin Celebrini. Tier two, everyone else.
Everyone else. Well, that's the way it is, though.
Yeah.
Like, Celebrini is in his own tier.
We've known this for a year.
Because everyone knows he's going one. There was a point where, you know, I think at the start of the year, Cole Yzerman was viewed as a potential guy who could jump him. If anything, his value has slipped over the course of the year to the point where I think it's plausible he could slip all the way to 12 because teams just view him as a one-dimensional shooter, just a really good one-dimensional shooter, but a one-dimensional shooter. He was involved. Ivan Demidov, because you got to do the second pronunciation, yeah, the second syllable pronunciation. He was talked about a little bit, but like there's the Russia factor. It seems very clear that it's Celebrini. But you've got like as strong of a class as this is on defense, and it is. It's deep, not just in this tier, but in the tiers lower. You could fill any of these positions. Like the only position you don't have is goal, but goalies don't usually go in the first round anymore. Anyway, you've got three centers, you've got three wingers, and Demidov, some people theorize he could be a center. We shall see. I haven't watched enough tape to have an opinion on whether he could be a center or not. I tend with those guys to assume they're probably going to be wings, but some people think he can be a center. But then you've got guys like Eiersman, pure wing, Ginla, who's obviously the son of Jerome Ginla. Everybody's going to think that'd be a cool pick.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's cool because Ginla's cool.
Yeah. Jerome Ginla was the man.
While we're talking about every time I see Cole Eiserman's name written, I just think, like, how weird is it that he's not, like, Steve Eiserman? Like, it's not. No, it's a totally different guy.
Totally different spelling.
It's like Barkley Goodrow. Like, it's not
Goodrow.
It's not Goodrow. It's totally different.
Goodrow.
Yeah, it's actually spelled the way you say it.
But the reason why I wanted to bring this up, number one, is because all of these guys pretty much are in the same tier after Celebrini. And there's a lot of different positions you could pick to address with that 12th overall pick. It just depends on who slips because you've got like where you got one and then you got 12 guys. Flyers are at 12. So that would theoretically take you all the way to 13. Now, the Flyers at 12, the negative of being at that pick is that you don't get to choose from this tier. But you're going to get someone pretty darn good who gets to 12. You said before the show, in very Philadelphia fan fashion, this could actually be good for the Flyers because they just have to take who's left. They can't screw up the pick.
Yeah, like if there's only like 12 or 13 guys who like belong in that tier, that means they don't get to be the team that stretches for someone. You get to just take who's left. And listen, that's the way we talk this time of year. It is draft season. You know what else it is? It's allergy season. Birds are chirping. Grass is growing. Hockey playoffs have started. That means eyes are watering and throats are scratchy. Everyone out there who has been listening to the show for the last few weeks and months knows I'm an allergy sufferer. You can hear it in my voice on plenty of days. Pollen from trees, grasses, and weeds are a primary cause of seasonal allergies. Symptoms flare when the pollen you are allergic to is in the air, and it's possible to be allergic to just one or several types of pollen. This sucks. I'll tell you firsthand, it sucks. But there are steps you can take to help alleviate some of your allergy symptoms. First, sign up for Rite Aid Rewards emails at riteaid.com/rewards to receive email pollen alerts for your area. If the pollen count is high, try to stay indoors. Keep windows closed and run air conditioners as needed. And when you come in from the outdoors, take off your shoes and maybe your coat near the door to minimize tracking pollen inside your home. And take a shower before bedtime to help wash away any pollen from your skin and hair. And of course, you can visit Rite Aid to stock up on over-the-counter allergy solutions like a nasal rinse or antihistamines. Still not enough relief? Ask a Rite Aid pharmacist if a different type of allergy medication, like a decongestant, might be necessary. You can always ask your Rite Aid pharmacist for recommendations on ways to get relief during allergy season. Visit your local Rite Aid today, stock up on allergy relief, or catch up on immunizations for RSV, shingles, and more. Walk in or schedule a vaccine appointment at riteaid.com.
Bill, you're a pro because that is not an easy read.
It's just so much.
It's just so much.
It's like it's just a lot of information.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you have to put the inflection in your voice. Like I'm transitioning from one topic to another.
It's a little daunting.
It's just like I have to. It just takes thought. Like a lot of these, you can just read. Like this one, you just kind of have to think about a little. And I hate thinking.
Would not recommend.
The prospect tiers. Like I do find. I find it a little, I find it a relief that even though the Flyers did not make the playoffs and they end up kind of in this no man's land at 12.
Yes.
They're basically going to be picking someone from this established tier of guys.
Yes.
Like from 2 to 13 is basically the same. It just depends on the order.
Yeah, and obviously some of those guys are going to be great and some of those guys are going to be busts. And you just hope you get one of the guys who is. But I don't think, like, I think everyone in this tier 2, the general, and there's going to be differences of opinion in the scouting community, but the general, generally accepted view is that everybody in that tier 2 is like top of the lineup talent. Not necessarily superstar, like Celebrini is the potential superstar. And there's always guys who are projected as top of the lineup talents, and then become superstars. Like that's how you get Anze Kopitar, becomes a Hall of Famer, isn't taken in the top, like the top five, whatever. But I would say generally speaking, all of these guys are viewed, whether it's project types, like there's some projects here, whether there's some more immediate guys. These guys are all generally viewed as potential top of the lineup guys. Like whoever, if the Flyers get one of these guys, which I expect they will, unless there's somebody else they decide they like a lot better who isn't on this list, I would assume that player would immediately jump, maybe even Oliver Bonk, on the Flyers prospect list.
Really?
It would be close. Okay. Then it would just depend upon, but like if they got like Berkeley Catton, I would immediately put him over Bonk. And I like Bonk a lot. Obviously not over Michkov, but I put him over Bonk because I still look at Bonk as a guy who, like, best case scenario is a 2. Whereas some of these guys, you're like, all right, a lot of these defensemen, you're like, best case scenario, like Sam Dickinson could be a 1. You know, Vasiliev, given the upside that he has, given the huge friggin' Russian defenseman who can skate pretty darn well for his size, like, they have the upside to be number 1s. I would put guys with those upsides over someone who I think tops out as a 2 at the absolute best.
Siliev was my guy early when you told me about him like months ago because you were like, he's like 6'7". It's like, oh, yeah, give me that. Dope. Yeah. But now just looking at all the names, man, it's hard not to love Carter Yakimchuk. I picked Cutter Gauthier based solely on his name.
See how that went for you.
Oh, he was a good prospect.
Yeah, he was a good prospect.
Yeah.
The little reading I've done on him on the this Carter
Yakimchuk
is that he would be a cool Flyers pick because he is big, he's offensively talented, but he has like a mean streak.
Oh, that's exactly what they need.
Flyers fans, I think, would dig him.
They need a big, mean asshole who can also score a little bit. Just some. Yeah.
Just a little.
Chris Pronger.
Just touch.
He scored a little more than a little bit.
Yeah, he was one of the best defensemen.
One MVP.
Of his era, to be sure. But yeah, this is just kind of a general look at the draft. I'm going to have a lot more information on these guys over the next few weeks and months. We'll be doing videos. We'll obviously have entire shows on players, positions, draft needs, things like that. But for now, I think this is just a good time to give a little overview. Like this is 101. We'll get into 201 and 301 and 401 down the road. This is just giving you the idea. This is where the Flyers are probably going to pick. This is what their prospect pool looks like now. These are the guys who generally are accepted to be the top choices that are likely to be available at the pick the Flyers are likely to select at.
Listen, the NFL draft is tomorrow. I don't want Flyers fans out there feeling left out of all the draft fun. The draft is fun because it represents hope.
It does.
I wanted to get into it a little bit today. It's a hump day Wednesday. Let's look ahead a little bit. And listen, when you've got hope, it means you love your team.
Do you?
If you love your team, well, some people do, some people don't. If you love your team, you have to shop at FOCO because FOCO has the absolute best officially licensed gear for all sports and fandoms. And whether it's hoodies, jackets, beachwear, or even overalls, there's something for fans for almost every occasion. And if you're in the market for some accessories, toys, or collectibles for your man cave, she shed, or podcast set, you've got to use FOCO for your team gear needs there as well because FOCO always has our back for Philly sports, and they have yours too. Get the best gear around by using the link in the description of the show. And for all non-presale items, use the promo code PHLY10. That's promo code PHLY10 for 10% off at FOCO today. I want to get to our mailbag question of the day now. It's a fun one, more projecting ahead, but it's projecting even further ahead than the draft 2 months from now. we are looking like 14, 15 months into the future at the free agent class of 2025. Mailbag question of the day comes from Devin, who I'm making sure to pronounce his name the way he told me to. It is not Devon. It is not Devon. It's Devin.
It's Devin. Okay.
Yeah. There it is. It seems like the Flyers have a ton of cap space coming in 2025, 26. Besides the dream of McDavid or Dreisaitl, what other potential free agents could they target that summer? And you look ahead, and it's Dreisaitl who will be an unrestricted free agent following next season. He is on the Travis Konecny path, where he's eligible for an extension. This July, he will become an unrestricted free agent if he does not sign one by next July.
Right. And then McDavid is 2026.
Yeah, and McDavid is the following year. And you look at the Flyers cap situation, you just look at like, oh, yeah, it's fine that they overpay Fedotov now. 2 years from now, okay, they're going to have some cap space open. Yep. And there's plenty of contracts that are going to expire along the way.
And ideally, they would be getting Michkov well on an entry-level contract.
Hopefully, one of, if not the best, well, at this point right now, the best player on your team, hopefully, is at 995 or whatever the ELC number is at that point.
At least your best offensive player.
Yes, he's hopefully.
Hopefully.
Just looking at this list now, a cap-friendly, I looked ahead to the 2025 class of free agents, and there are some intriguing names. Now, like we were saying before the show, Charlie, like, I guess it's possible. I hope everyone actually watching can see that. It's not great for us. That's why I'm looking at it on my screen. Like, I guess it's possible Leon Draisaitl. Like, we just brought up Bowen Byram. One of the reasons he wanted to leave Colorado is, like, I'm never going to be the guy here. Because we have the next Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
You know, like, and of course he goes to the place that has Rasmus Dahlin, but like,
and Owen Power.
And Owen Power as well. But like, he wants the chance to be kind of seen apart from Cale Makar.
I also think his development was stalling out a little bit in Colorado because underlying numbers this season with the Avalanche were bad. Now, you wonder if part of that is because of the concussions he's dealt with or if part of that is just it wasn't working out there.
Yeah.
But I get his point where it's like, hey, I ain't never going to get out of Cale Makar's shadow in Colorado.
So
let me try to make
maybe
my own path.
Leon Draisaitl has a similar thought.
Yeah.
I would be surprised to see him get out of Edmonton. There's a couple of guys I wanted to run by you on this list that I thought would be interesting. The first of which, he's all the way down there at number 49 on the list. He'll be 29 when his contract expires next season. Just scored his fifth career playoff overtime goal, Carter Verhaeghe. 72 points this season, 34 goals. He's really come on in his mid to late 20s. It kind of feels like a Danny Briere-ish signing. Not like the Eskimo, but like when they signed Briere in 07. Mm-hmm. It was, we need a guy, like he's clutch in the playoffs. He comes through, he's won, obviously hasn't won the way Verhaeghe did in Tampa and now going on these runs with Florida. But like, Briere had playoff success. He was a veteran. He was a skilled guy. You needed to add something to the youngish core here. I feel like Verhaeghe could kind of fit the timeline.
I mean, maybe. I guess he would only be 29, what, going on 30, I guess? 29 going on 30 in next summer. When he hits because he's an August birthday. So he'd be 30 once he actually starts his Flyers career. Look, he's obviously a guy who's on the tip of everyone's tongue because he just scored the game-winning goal in overtime again last night. He has that, like, he's probably done it enough where you think that at the very least he doesn't get worse in clutch situations. Perhaps he is one of those guys who does indeed step up his game in clutch situations. I would assume that though will mean he will cost more because teams will want that clutch element that he's brought in the past. I'm not saying it's the worst idea. I'm curious to see though if 2025 is the year where they make the pivot. If that's, because it's not going to be this summer, they made that clear. They're not going to be in the market for the big free agents. They're not going to be trading away future assets for vets. But 2025 is interesting to me for another reason that you don't hint at. I wonder if they might see 2025 as the year, because I'm looking at this and the guys who jump out at me are not the forwards. It's the defensemen. I wonder if they would see 2025 as a time where it's like, we need to get that crusty old vet. pay him a lot of money, but get him because not only will he solidify that decor, it also will help the young guys like the Cam Yorks, you know, maybe the Emil Andres by that point, maybe the Oliver Bonks. Like, I'm not saying these guys are going to be available, but you do have guys like Victor Hedman and Jacob Slavin who are slated to be free agents of 2025. I would imagine both of those guys as both a developmental help and also just helping on the ice.
Leadership.
I imagine those guys would be very intriguing to Danny Briere.
Victor Hedman was going to be my main event here because I feel like a few weeks ago, it was a while ago, but you brought up the idea of like when they're going to make this turn, like they're going to need someone like that probably. Yeah. And he could play that Pronger role where he will be 34 when he's signing, you know, 2 years from now. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he's a young guy, but also he had 76 points in 78 games this year for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like, I don't know. It seems like he still has it. And Chris Pronger, listen, yeah, they only got really one healthy year out of him. He was awesome in that year. They went to the Stanley Cup final. And the half of a healthy year they got out of him, they were a 100-point team. It wasn't until that third year it really fell apart. Like, it's not the smartest thing to invest in a 34-year-old.
No, generally not. But I will say that Victor Hedman
he's a Hall of Fame.
Maybe the best defenseman
of his generation.
Of his era.
Yeah.
Those guys tend to age pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, look at freaking Chris Chelios. He played until he was 50. Like, Nicholas Lidstrom could have played until he was 50. He just, like, woke up one day in his mid-40s. He's like, I'm not the best defenseman in hockey anymore. I guess I'll retire.
I finished third in Norris voting. This is bullshit. I retire.
If he wanted to do a Chelios, he could have. He could have hung around as a solid third pair defenseman until he was in his late 40s, early 50s. He was just one of those guys where if I'm not the best, I don't want to do it anymore. The Hall of Fame defensemen tend to have a very long career because they're just smart enough that they can adapt to when some of the physical ability goes away. Slavin is interesting to me too on a couple levels. Number one, because I know this because Keith Jones has told this to me on the record multiple times. They are kind of modeling their defense development plan off of the Carolina Hurricanes. Jacob Slavin is the best player on that blue line. And Jacob Slavin is one of those guys, like, you could stick him next to Jamie Drysdale and that pairing could be a top pair. Because he already showed he can carry fucking Tony DeAngelo. If he can do that, he can carry anybody.
Yeah, he is another interesting name on here. I mean, the highlight name for me is Mikko Rantanen.
Oh, yeah, because he's superstar.
He's a superstar.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be great.
Like, that's the highlight name.
Well, I mean,
that's
aside from Draisaitl, who's, like, better than Rantanen.
I just, like, they have nothing else, you know? Like, Edmonton has those two guys. There's other players there. But they have those two guys. And I look at Colorado is like, they have a lot of masters to serve in terms of how they have to work their cap.
Yeah.
Like, and I think Tampa Bay is the same way. Like, Steven Stamkos might not be a Lightning a couple of weeks from now.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's kind of crazy.
I would have to believe, and maybe not because NHL GM is going to NHL GM. I would have to believe that if they had conversations, I haven't been following this at all because I'm pretty laser focused on the Flyers.
I would have
to believe that if Edmonton has conversations with Draisaitl and either they decide he doesn't fit their future cap situation or Draisaitl himself doesn't want to resign or isn't willing to commit to the idea that he wants to stay an Oiler, I would have to believe they look to trade him this summer.
You have to trade him.
Like, you have to trade him, right?
And you can't
let him walk for nothing.
And a team that trades for, like, one of the best players in the league, the assets it's going to take to acquire him, you can't possibly do that without first negotiating an extension.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Like, the idea of Leon Draisaitl hitting the market is insane to me. It could happen because this league's wild, but, like, that seems a bit much.
It does. Real quick, because we're going to stay on this topic, but we do have a super chat from Linden49. Caden Lindstrom at center would be a win. It would. It'd be great. But everything I've gathered in my early stages of research is that he's unlikely to pass by like 5 or 6. So I Linden49, keep dreaming, bud. You never know.
Do you think that's Trevor Linden?
Do you think it's Trevor Linden?
I don't know.
What's he doing these days?
Who's to say?
But yeah, I mean, going back to these free agents, I understand why our friend Devin likes the idea of looking forward in time.
It's fun.
It's always great to have hope. the vast majority of these guys on this list are going to be re-signed before 2025.
Superstars rarely hit the free agent market. I guess if you want to put Alex Pietrangelo in that category, he's one of the bigger ones over the last few years. But if you're going to go out and get one of those dudes, it's more than likely going to be in a trade.
Yeah.
Which does, I mean, if the Flyers are going to continue to stockpile assets, that does help in acquiring one.
It does, absolutely.
You know, like it took quite a bit to acquire Chris Pronger. It was, what, Lucas Pisa, two more firsts, and Joffrey Lupul, maybe some other shit? Like, it was a whole lot. And that's for an old guy.
Yeah.
To get a guy who maybe fits this timeline a little better, someone who's going to be here for a run of years, they're going to have to continue to stockpile these assets like they're doing.
I am unsure if they are going to make the pivot in 2025. Like, they could, but like if this team takes a step back next year, which I think we both agree is very possible. You know, they're taking a risk on the goaltending. They're not, they're most likely, unless they go out and re-sign in this offseason, they're not going to have Sean Walker the entire year. So unless Jamie Drysdale takes a big step forward, the defense is probably going to be weaker. We don't know if you're going, like, I would hope that given a full offseason of work and the fact that he will be able to recuperate from the things he's been dealing with in the second half of the year, I would hope that next year you get first half Sean Couturier for the entire year. It is certainly possible that instead you get second half Sean Couturier for the entire year. And if that's the case, Flyers aren't a very good team. And if the Flyers take a step back next year and aren't in the playoff mix, I don't know how realistic it is to imagine that in 2025...
Danny's going to go, okay, yeah, time to flip the switch.
And you're still waiting one more year for Michkov. I'm skeptical he will be like, yeah, this is the time for me to offer Mikko Rantanen, you know, $12 million a year for 7 years.
No, it would be surprising if that's the case. But it's also a question of we don't know if they just want to, okay, if Michkov's on the timeline we think he's on, which all signs point to probably.
Right. You never know, but we're operating under the assumption it's two more years.
Like, do you want to start when he gets here, or do you want to have something going when he gets here?
That's fair.
You know, like, okay, we're going to start as soon as we get... As soon as we get Matvei Michkov, now it's time to find him someone to play on that first line with. Or, yo, we need Mikko Rantanen here as the 1C or playing on the opposite wing of Michkov. Like, we need that established so we have something. So he's excited to come here, you know? Yeah. And so his first year after all this waiting isn't, you know, just another lost season five in a row.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not concerned about the idea of Michkov deciding he doesn't want to be a Flyer. But I am, I mean, I guess you're always going to be concerned about that because it's something to be worried about. Because obviously, like, that's nightmare fuel. And you love your nightmare fuel.
I'm not concerned about it, but it's crazy. To say there's no chance of anything going wrong is crazy.
Fair.
This is the fucking Flyers. And it's Russia.
This is fair. But I do think it's going to be important. Like, if we're operating on the assumption that Michkov is going to come over here and maybe not be, you know, top five superstar in the league right away, but pretty darn good right away. If we're operating under that assumption, I don't want to waste his entry-level years. Entry-level deal years. Because you are going to have a massive competitive advantage when he is getting paid a sub-million-dollar cap hit to be a top-line player. I want to take advantage of that. Like, that was my big thing, why it was like mind-boggling how poorly Edmonton dealt with McDavid. Like, you have an elite player right off the jump and you have Peter Chiarelli like just tripping over his own, you know what, for 4 years. Like, it was insane.
Imagine. No, but like, exactly. Like, that is the equivalent of like Russell Wilson third round pick on his rookie deal. Yeah, man. We have every defensive player in the league.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, let's go.
That is a huge advantage when one of your most important players is not just underpaid the way like Sean Couturier or Wayne Simmonds were on their contracts, but like wildly underpaid. Yeah,
exactly.
He's making under a mil. We can get three players for what we should be paying him.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I don't want them to let that. I don't want their patience, which right now I agree. I think it's the right move to be patient. But I don't want their patience to extend into the early Michkov years. Because it's like, well, Michkov's 22. We have him forever. It's like, you do, but you're never going to have him this cheap again.
Yeah. And like, there's not going to be a bridge deal.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to get 10 plus away.
If he's as good as we think and we hope he's going to be, there ain't no bridge deal. It's immediately jumping to 10 mil plus.
Or you have a bigger problem on your hands. You still don't have any high-end talent.
Yeah, because he just stinks. Then it's like, well, shit.
All right. It's a while away, but maybe you want to buy ahead. No, don't use Game Time to see Michkov. That's crazy. But listen, there's so much going on right now. Maybe you want to travel to see a Stanley Cup playoff game. Hey, maybe you want to go up to Lehigh Valley, catch a Phantoms playoff game.
That's right.
Maybe you want to catch the Phils up close. Maybe you want to see the NBA playoffs before they end in a couple of days here in Philadelphia.
Ouch.
I got to take my shots. You got to use the Game Time app because Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals. You know they have the killer last minute deals, plus the all-in pricing. See what you're going to pay before you get to that final checkout and have your mind made up about what you're doing. And the views from your seat, know where you're going to sit and how it's going to look before you ever get to the stadium, plus the lowest price guarantee. All of this adds up to Game Time just taking the work out of buying tickets. You know about the last minute deals. You can save up to 60% off buying last minute tickets for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And the flash deals. You download that app and you can save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game or event. So snag the tickets without the stress of Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code PHLY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PHLY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And before we get out of here, I just want to say, hey, if you want to be featured on Mailbag of the Day, hit me up, DM me, tweet me, whatever. We're going to answer one question a day. Maybe I'll choose yours. Who's to say?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And that is all the time we have for you on PHLY Flyers. Thank you very much to our presenting sponsor, Mortgage CS. Check out MortgageCS.com/PHLY to get your home buying process started today. My name is Bill Matz. That's Charlie O'Connor. We'll be back tomorrow, Philly. Have a great day.
We all silly like the mayor.